Hey guys, awesome episode today. We talk getting a bartender's number and waiting for that ring. Enjoy, share with friends. Welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Fried, coming to you live from Harlem, New York City. We're here every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every episode. I'll say it again. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. That's how it works. You listen to the show. You tell a friend. We all feather each other's nuts. You get a show.
Feather those nuts.
Feather those nuts. Shelby's here. We're here live in Harlem. Good to be back. I'm very excited about today's guest. We've tried to book. You've done this show before, though.
I've done it before, and then every time I had a flight delay, I had a gig in Miami. I went down to do. It was.
We've had issues, but
we've had like the 10 plagues of Egypt.
You're here now. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Tim Dillon, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Very excited to be here.
Tim is hilarious.
This is the type of Harlem I like. Beautiful apartment.
This is
penthouse level.
We're doing okay. I tell you, Harlem, it's an interesting vibe because I love being in Harlem. I like the people here. But then every now and again, I'll be like, yeah, I moved to Harlem. Or someone will go, where do you live? I had one guy, he goes, where do you live? I go, Harlem. He goes, oh, so you're part of the problem. And I was like, what an offensive way to come at it. I moved to a place.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do? Apologize the rest of my life for, living in, what looks like Elysium?
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, what are you supposed to do? That's a great question.
I'm a part of the community. I want to have this to be a great place. I also like the vibe of it. I do like that, you do see every type of person here.
Yeah, not for much longer, but I like it.
Well, that's the thing. That's what he's kind of saying.
It's fun to see the last remaining few of them.
It's a little tough because sometimes you'll see a church get knocked down.
Yeah.
And I'll be sitting there under my breath. I'll be like, I hope that's a Chase Bank.
Yeah. Of course. You're like, thank God. Yeah. I hope to God. Well, I've always lived, when I was in the city, I lived in Hell's Kitchen, and then I lived in Brooklyn, and then I lived in Astoria. And it's interesting, just by happenstance, the three areas that I lived in are not really gentrifying areas. Like, Hell's Kitchen's kind of been that way forever.
Yeah.
Maybe it's more now. And Astoria, no one can kick anyone out because it's all like just middle class people from all over the world. It's not one of those areas that's like...
Astoria, you go there and you're like, it kind of feels like you're in Sesame Street.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. It's what I love about it.
It has stoops and it has like, people have like garages for their cars.
Yeah.
It feels like the part that New York
left. An area has to bottom out for gentrification. And Astoria's never bottomed out. Like, an area's got to get really bad. And so then what happens is there's all these incentives to clean it up, change it. And then what happens is...
And then people come in to get the deals.
Absolutely.
That's where I am
right now.
I'm here on a tax abatement.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Fuck these people.
Listen, let's go follow Tim. He's got Netflix special, Comedy Central special. He has a podcast called Tim Dillon Is Going to Hell. Explain the podcast to the people here.
It's just me.
I
mean, it really is, the loose theme when we started it was I was going to defend the people that society hated. Billionaires.
Sure. You could have defended me for moving to Harlem.
Yeah, I mean, do you see how well I did?
Yeah, you did a good job.
I was going to defend people that society, for whatever reason, had turned on.
Sure.
And I was going to, basically say, these people need a defense. Let me defend dictators, con men, tax cheats.
Yeah.
And,
like, there's empathy in it. There's reasons for it. It's like The Sopranos. You watch it, you're cheering for, Tony Soprano.
Yeah, he's the anti-hero. And what it eventually became is like not really formulaic, but me just kind of going off and being absolutely honest and exploring areas that people are afraid to explore and going, this is where I love dark comedy and I love comedy that's just like, I think you know, you should be able to go into areas in a funny way that you can't go into any other way.
Of course.
So that's kind of the show.
What is there? What's the last episode? What did we talk about?
The last episode, what did I? Oh, so I what I talked about was this the master class, which I can do. Ooh. I can have none of now. This
awful.
New master class that they're
so
doing.
The idea is that they that they are commoditizing knowledge that you can go online and become an expert in, and one of them stand-up comedy.
They got Steve Martin talking about stand-up comedy.
Who hasn't done it in 30
hasn't
years.
Hasn't done it in 30 years. And the last time he did it, I believe, was in a stadium.
Yes.
So he's got Steve
Martin.
You got
it's like
Judd Apatow
mic.
Teaching film.
Yeah.
Aaron Franklin's teaching you how to be a pit master in Austin. And it's $15 a month. And so my whole thing was like, this stuff makes Gary Vaynerchuk look so legit.
Yeah.
And I get mad at him sometimes because he gives this generic, meaningless
sure.
advice. He's like, you could say it or you could do it. But I suggest you do both. And it's like, do what?
Gary
you know?
V did a great job at placing swear words in the right places.
But what this is sad about Masterclass is I respect the talent of these people.
Mm.
David Lynch, like, why is David Lynch, like,
It's a very obvious, we took the money.
It's a grift.
Yeah.
It's a scam.
Yeah.
Right out, it's a scam. And my whole thing is like, if you are a master and you have all this knowledge that you've
sure.
aren't you giving it to an apprentice? Aren't you choosing a few worthy people
that you believe
think,
love it and are good at it and you see talent in it?
Yes.
And
not people that just pay $15 a month, which is like a Planet Fitness membership. You
sure.
forget. You don't even know what's happening. Half of the people that sign up for Masterclass, they don't even know.
The whole idea of Masterclass, nothing is to be trusted when part of the pitch to David Lynch is, hey, and they forget that their credit card is there.
Right.
It's for so little. You'll be making money month after month.
It's just enough money. Cancellations are so low.
Yeah.
And so that that was
part of your pitch. Hey, Steve Martin, who's, you know, and listen, say I've read the book. You read his book and you're like, it does. Have you ever read his book?
It's great.
It's also you spend a minute going, what year was he born?
Well,
you know,
also,
like he's like performing at a circus and everything feels black and white.
That's my other problem with these people. Like, they don't know what TikTok is.
No.
You don't know who Lil Nas X is.
No.
There is no more Masterclass. The Masterclass is manipulating social media and bullying companies into giving you money. The idea of you trying to
people fired is Masterclass
like
now.
Like Picasso, the idea of like that type of artist or that type of progression is so crazy where Steve Martin's like, you gotta just craft it.
Yeah.
And it's like, buddy, you are living in the dark ages.
Yeah.
You have no idea what's even happening right now.
If you go read his book, the first 10 pages you go, you'll think that you're reading like Tom Sawyer.
I sat on a plane next to this guy from Republic Records who does their social media.
Okay.
And they just handed $700,000 to the guy who had the next top song on TikTok. Lil Nas X was number one. The guy who was number two,
like,
who just had a goatee.
Sure.
This is how it was explained to me on the plane. They go, he had a goatee and he did a song. It was kind of funny. And they just handed him $700,000 because they said it's worth the gamble.
Yeah.
Maybe this guy gets a. So this idea that there's a master class.
Yeah. It's a bullshit thing.
Mick Jagger's going to tell you how to be a musician. It's like, no, go on TikTok. Do something stupid.
Yeah, go show your small dick on TikTok.
Right.
And everyone will go, that's a small dick comic.
And what nobody wants to admit is that the journey to doing anything is perilous. There's a lot of risk.
Sure.
It takes a while. And you make a lot of sacrifices, and you don't always get them back. You know, Steve Jobs is never going to get that time with his daughter back. But
no.
We got a nice phone.
Yeah.
But so the reality is, like, there's no honesty in the masterclass. The masterclass is like, just follow these things, and you could learn this skill. And it's like, no, it's all about making a life choice and sticking to it in the face of tremendous.
I think that's a big thing with the world today. Knowing that discomfort is a part of life.
Yeah.
You know, you have a lot of people that are getting angry right now that I felt uncomfortable. Yeah. Anyone success, Steve Jobs has no relationship with his daughter.
Yes.
That's uncomfortable.
I've told people that, and I don't really do an advice thing at the end of the show, but I love them and I should start doing it.
Yeah.
But what I always tell people is, you have to get away from your family and friends. And I know that this is terribly controversial now to say to a lot of people. And I don't mean, listen, I still see my family and
of
friends.
Of course.
But mentally, I'm not there. Yeah. I'm somewhere else. I go to Christmas and watch everybody give each other snuggies, but I'm somewhere else.
Sure. Well, I mean, to that point, I'll tell a story. I was just in Miami. I went with my girlfriend, took a trip, and then
you love Miami so much.
I had such a great time.
I love how much you love Miami.
Time. I love the people there down there.
It's great.
Just every type of ass.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
So we went and sat at the pool. Had a great time. My parents live, you know, like an hour north. So they're like, let's meet in the middle, get dinner. I love my parents. I want to go hang out with them. I love hanging out with them. We have a great time. My brother came. We got dinner. And at one point, it comes up that my mom does these things where she'll pop quiz me. She'll ask me, where's a certain article of my clothing that she bought for me 30 years ago? And if I don't remember, then I'll be yelled at for being irresponsible the rest of the meal.
Right.
That's the game. Yeah. So she'll go, where are your sunglasses? And I'll have to, from 1995. And I'll go, here they are. And she'll go, okay, you've passed.
Right.
So then this time she goes, where's your watch? You never wear a watch. And I go, it's back. And now I have to prove where it is by being so specific.
Yeah.
So I go, yeah, the watch is in the drawer back in my apartment. I don't want to wear a watch. Get sun, you know. Now I have to give a reason I'm not wearing it. My dad, who's we all have weight issues. We've all dealt with weight issues our whole life. Eating is a part of the
culture.
Whole life breed of our family. Yeah. He goes, well, maybe that doesn't fit the watch. And I'm like, yeah, my watch doesn't fit. That my wrist has gained. I'm one of the people from 600 Pound Life. My wrist is now a seal. You know, it doesn't fit around my wrist. I've gained an amount of weight that my wrist is too fat.
Yeah, the watch popped off a cartoon.
Exactly.
And I don't know where it is.
And this is to bring it back to your point where it's like, I'm not going to sit there and get mad at my...
Of course.
What my dad is saying is a very passive-aggressive him thing to do. He's giving me shit about weight and how I look in his own way where I go, that's what he does.
Right.
And it's like, when you say I'm there, I'm having a good time, but something like that, I don't go... It's not going to ruin my night. It's not going to ruin my trip.
My dad, we had lunch yesterday. We go out to Long Island. We're having lunch. And he's not there anymore because his wife is talking about we're living in fascism. His wife's 15 years younger than him.
Okay.
He's 67. He's golf and the dogs and wine.
Sure.
So if you're not a dog or a glass of Cabernet, he's done. It's
over. I get it. Yeah.
So, and thank God. It would be scarier if he was had a podcast, or if he was on Twitch.
Yeah.
So it's good that
his podcast is set to other people while golfing.
So his wife is literally talking about that we're living in fascism and we're all eating calamari on the back deck of this beautiful restaurant,
we
have Chilean sea basses on the way, but it's fascism, you know, and she keeps using the word, and I'm kind of almost giggling, but I'm just, because it happens in LA. I have a meeting in LA, and literally somebody at the meeting is like, I had no idea what it would be like to live in a fascist country, and now I know. And then they'll go, okay, can I do the Benedict but two eggs? I don't want the hollandaise. Can you put it on the side? Can we do sauteed spinach? And
this
I'm like, okay.
This is how it went with Napoleon.
And so,
this is how it went in Russia.
Yeah,
this
is how it was, I imagine, in Dachau. We were just ordering breakfast.
Yeah.
And then my father just starts talking about his dog, Ruthie. And that she's a thinking dog and she's very smart.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm caught between. So then I'm just like, I got to go somewhere
else. Yeah.
And then my stepmother's like, we just bought a beautiful cottage in Eaton's Neck on Long Island. And she goes, and you're going to own that one day. And I'm like, but when?
Yeah,
when are you going to die? And she got mad at me because I said it. I said, when are you going to die?
At one point, you landed back in the conversation.
Yeah. As soon as I heard that, I'm like, oh, okay, but when? Because you look fine and you might outlive me. So what you're basically saying is your life's going to get a lot better when we die.
Sure.
So do you have any idea when that's happening? Do you have any idea when I can get the cottage?
And then they're mad that you're asking the answer to the idea that they're bringing up.
The rational question is that. But
you're going to get that one day when I'm too old to use it.
I always say to people, listen, you love your family, you love your friends, but go get your own thing.
Mm.
Go get your own thing. Whatever.
Pursue.
Pursue. Go and figure out where you fit. I tell a lot of my friends, I'm like, leave the country.
Go do
what is
something.
Keeping
What's
you in
keeping
this
you?
Go teach
now,
English in China.
To speak to this,
yeah.
You're moving to LA.
I'm moving to LA.
I understand Now, I have this theory on LA.
Yeah.
I think you if you go follow Tim on Instagram, go follow, go support. You post a lot of food stuff. A
lot of food.
I
some
enjoy
funny videos,
it.
Too.
Funny stuff.
I'm
it's
trying
all
to lose
good.
Weight out there, so it's not going to be all food.
At Tim J. Dillon, go follow, go support. You're going to love him. LA food scene. What are your thoughts?
I think it's a lot better.
Yeah.
I've seen it grow.
I think it's fantastic.
I've been on the front lines.
Yeah.
I will never say it's better than New York or even equal, which a lot of people are saying.
I'm saying it's better than New York.
Well, that's crazy.
Why?
Well, I just don't.
I'm willing to talk to you about
the diversity isn't there yet.
You don't think that? Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. I don't,
that's insane.
I'm actually this deadly serious.
This is Italian or pizza. This is no diversity.
No. What I love.
You're not getting a middle class of good food here. You can get a meal here that is a fantastic meal.
But so
good
for example,
produce.
I'm gonna say after 9 p.m. in L.A. or 8 p.m. in L.A., there's no place you could walk into a la a bodega or a deli and get a turkey sandwich. You cannot get a roasted vegetable wrap.
We're
if
talking
you
about
be healthy.
Two totally different foods.
Well, but this
I'm
is
talking about the restaurant scene.
I know, but this is very important. We take food culture in general. It's very important that you're able to get a turkey wrap at 8:30, and you can't. It's over, Jared.
You're not even possible. Right. You're absolutely
but
right.
But listen, I love Osteria Mozza. It's one of my favorite restaurants out there. Batali's done some great. But you know, Nancy Silverton. A lot of people are great.
You go to that. You know,
New York still has. The greatest, you know, the French Culinary Institute is here. It is a global city. LA's not really a global city in the way that New York is. New York attracts the best talent from all over the world.
But that's what I'm saying. The best
Culinary
talent
Institute
are going
Hyde
to
Park.
LA or New York.
Sure.
And it's more economical to open a place in LA.
That is true. But I just don't believe you have the
The diversity of Asian food alone there.
Well, yeah,
you have
Asian food is certainly they probably win, but we now you have to remember that you know New York City created American Chinese food. We literally created it,
and not. I mean, well, I have my issues with New York Chinese.
I love their
food.
Sushi. I love a poke bowl. I love some of their restaurants.
Their Thai food is killing.
Chit Lot is one of my favorite places in the world. I like the food scene there, but I'm very loyal to New York, and I still think New York edges it out.
I think you're gonna change your mind.
You know,
What are you excited most about the move?
My friend, I'm living in like a $2 million house for very little money around the block from the Hollywood Improv because my friend is taking her maid and her son and her dogs to New York for 6 months and trying to convince him to go to high school here because it's a much better city to go to high school. If you don't want your kid high every day walking around in a Supreme shirt, which he might end up doing that in New York too.
Yeah.
But New York is just more culture. It's a better class of people. It's not a singular industry city where you have...
I'm with you on that. Yeah. Totally. As far as like growing up.
So I think it's fun to... I'm in a great spot. I'm in a good environment. What I'm excited about the move is like I have a team of people there that we love making these funny videos and we love recording podcasts and we love, you know, over the last 6 months to a year, I've started to engage social media more actively. You've been doing that forever. A lot of comics have not. I've done it. I did it on my own terms where I'm making things that I think are really funny and the people that I'm making them with are there. So I'm just excited to kind of hit the ground, go to work.
Sure.
And that's, by the way, that applies to anyone. If you can find two people,
sure,
and this is an entrepreneur, anything that you're doing, if you can find two people that complement you perfectly,
yeah,
and the problem in New
Work
York is
out.
Everybody wants to be the star.
Interesting.
That's the problem.
Yeah, well, there's people in LA that move there to be sound people.
There's people
that move there to be videographers and editors.
He is a comedian, but he's an amazing video editor, and it's more important to him to have money and a wife and kids and a good life and create things.
But also at video editing, you have to be funny to do that.
To edit
comedy, you have to have an eye for comedy.
Yeah. So the problem is, and I think some of the problems why people don't, and I have a lot of friends that are in many different industries, and I think this is not a problem that's only our business.
Sure.
I think if you go across the spectrum, people need to find people that compliment them. You don't need somebody trying to be you.
Yeah.
That's never going to be the person.
I hear that.
Yeah.
If I'm going to suggest a video to everyone listening, go watch the one where Tim is in front of the Instagrammer.
Yeah, the pink wall.
The pink wall where only verified Instagram people
go.
are allowed to think?
Yeah, I don't know if that's the case. I think unverified people are allowed, but I think if verified people come in, those unverified people are removed by security immediately.
That's the video
there
I would go watch.
Yeah, go watch that
go
video.
Go watch that one. That will be your entree into Tim Dillon. Go follow, go support at Tim J. Dillon on Twitter and Instagram. Well, let's do some emails. You ready?
I'm so excited.
Let's do it. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Sup, Papa JT, Classic Shelb, and esteemed guest. Okay. Big fan of the pod since the days when people would greet you with sup, Jew, and I've converted at least a few people into regular listeners. Anyways, I need your help pursuing a server from the local college bar whose number I scored last night. A bit of background. I'm a 26-year-old graduate student, and I'll be finished by the end of the summer. I am unsure of the woman in question's age, but I would assume 21, but no older than 25. Last night when I was out at the local haunt with the boys, I finally got courage to chat up the server who I'd been eyeing for the past month. Long story short, we ended up talking in between our serving duties and our mutual interest in anime. I didn't see the anime line coming.
Let me tell you right now, I've been thrown. I am literally thrown.
Lame, I know, but let's not judge. We're judging.
Yeah, buddy, you included it. You could have not included it. So easy to leave that out.
Yeah, that could have been left out.
You could have said mutual interest.
I didn't even know anime people drank anything but sake.
I mean.
As the drinks piled up, I began to wander, but she found me at the end of the night and suggested we take some shots. When she brings over the shots, I hand her the rest of my cash, and my biggest fear was realized when she told me how much they were. Ooh.
Oh, boy.
Nothing worse than the shot girl, like the waitress who's like, we should do shots. And then she's like 30, 50.
Yeah.
You know?
You got played.
I was short.
I am having a very bad day.
I was short, but without skipping a beat, she said she can cover the rest. I use this as an opportunity to say, well, can I get your number so I can repay you the favor sometime? She obliged, and I was over the moon. This is the first girl I've been excited about pursuing in a while, so I'm trying to play it cool. We exchanged a few texts today where I called back to the conversation last night, but I don't want to over text and ruin the vibe we have going. I'm not a big fan of getting to know someone over text, but should I keep up the texting and ask her out? Do I add her on Snapchat, or do I just make the progress the next time I see her working? Thanks in advance for the help. Keep up the good work, Feather. He sent a follow-up email. She went ahead and added me on Snap. We exchanged a few snaps on our similar taste in music. So what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you have the number ready, doesn't it seem backwards? It seems like you have you're texting, right?
Yeah.
So if you go from texting to DMing, is that, you know better than me.
Yeah.
Is that going backwards? It feels like you're sliding backwards.
You know what it is? It's this interesting thing.
Because I DM with strangers.
Of course.
Right.
But here's the thing that's interesting. This is an ego play.
Right.
See, he got the number. The next move should be, hey, great meeting you last night. Let's get drinks next week.
Right.
And he's not doing that because he fears her getting too obsessed with him.
I think that's
an interesting thing because I'm not saying I'm above it.
Yeah.
But I'm clear-eyed enough to see what's going on. What you're saying is right. You're clear-eyed too. You go, that's a backwards move. Why would he move to Snap? It's because he wants to text until he can get a hookup while saying he can stay casual. He's afraid that a date makes this not casual. A date, you can have one casual date that's fun and awesome and leads to, you know, both of you getting what you both want.
Right. So I would say...
He says he's excited about her, but he's not making a date? Like, dude.
Dude, text her and go out, get drinks, have fun.
Make a plan.
Making a plan
does not mean that you're now engaged to be engaged. And that's what he's avoiding.
Yeah.
Like, that's why he went backwards, because he's like, oh, I got the thing. Now I'm going to, like, wade back so she doesn't think I'm too into the thing. Be into the thing.
What if you kidnapped her as a joke? You know, like, have a couple of your buddies throw her in a van.
Yeah.
Bring her to you as a joke, and then they let her out, and then you guys watch anime.
And then you go, together. It's casual.
It's cash.
Yeah, it's not like
funny.
I locked you up. No, this is one of those moves that guys are doing now. And, you know, here's the other thing. She's a hot server at a restaurant.
Right.
She's getting approached all the time by guys who are half serious.
Right.
You need to pursue. You got to
step up.
Yeah.
Get the ring.
This is him doing masterclass.
Right.
This is a video. Like,
he's putting his toe in the pool.
Yeah.
You need to jump in.
Yeah. You're in the way of other dudes who want to fuck her.
Yeah. Straight up.
JTrain Podcast.
Snapchat about music.
JTrain Podcast.
Crazy.
We are sponsored, people. Have you heard the buzz about Rothy's? They're the shoe company that's making cute shoes out of recycled plastic water bottles. I gave Rothy's to my mom. She loves them, okay? They are the everyday flat for life on the go. Stylish, classic, and comfortable. She keeps calling me every time she wears them. I get a picture of them. I get a call. These are so comfortable. I love them. They look great. They're sleek. They're stylish. They're the best things to wear out of the house without thinking. I think that's the biggest thing with clothes. You want to put something on that you know looks great, but you don't have to spend 20 minutes going, is this the right event? Is this the right walk out of the house? Do I look like I'm trying too hard? And no, Rothy's is the answer for that shoe where you just got to throw them on and go. And they're sustainable. Shoes are made from recycled plastic water bottles, and they're manufactured in a zero-waste facility. So you can feel good about the shoes that you're putting on your feet. You're going to quickly discover why BuzzFeed called them their forever shoes. That's right. This ain't your high heels. This ain't your running shoes. These are for everything else. Check out all the amazing styles available right now at Rothy's.com/JTrain. Go to Rothy's.com. That's Rothy's.com/JTrain to get your new favorite flats. Comfort, style, sustainability. These are the shoes you've been waiting for. Head to Rothy's.com/JTrain today. Rothy's.com/JTrain. Rothy's.com/JTrain. Rothy's, be comfortable and cute. Tim Dillon Is Going to Hell is the podcast. Comes out every Sunday.
Sunday night.
Add it to the...
Sunday morning.
Saturday night.
Yeah. We call it church, so you can go that's your religious ceremony.
SOS. Feather, I'm seeking help in a little bit of a conundrum I've got myself into. About 2 months ago, I met a guy on Hinge. We talked for a little. We hung out and banged. Didn't talk. Then about a month later, repeated this. Now this leads to my conundrum. I matched with a new guy on Hinge. We hit it off right away. Met a day after talking and had a great date. Talking every day since and have another date set for this week. On the date, he mentioned a name once or twice of a friend and how they didn't talk anymore. After some light stalking, I came to realize that the new guy is friends or was friends with the Hinge 2-time booty call.
Ooh.
There we go. Here's the question.
This is the start of a Netflix documentary.
That's right. If the progression with the new guy continues, how do I bring up that I had sex with a friend of his? This was before knowing him, and if I knew I'd meet him, I wouldn't have dabbled in the booty call at all. Please help. What do you think? So she fucked a dude from Hinge, fizzled out, meets a new guy that she's interested in, things are going great, finds out that the guy she banged him don't talk anymore. And
I think
friends.
You almost play it like you don't even know that they know each other. It's kind of weirder that you went down that rabbit hole and found. Like, I mean, that's kind of my... I always go lie. I always default just lie.
Yeah.
Or just pretend not to know.
Sure.
Because the reality is you didn't do anything wrong.
Right now, yeah. Tim is right. If you're going to lie... Which you're not even lying.
You're not lying. You're just leaving out information.
Leaving out information.
Because it's going to, if you like the second guy, now it's just weird. Now, if you sit down and you go, by the way, I just want to let you know, and I stalked you. Yeah. I found out you have a friend. I fucked your friend.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird? I could be totally wrong.
It feels like you're trying to tell him that you fuck dudes.
Yeah.
It's like it feels like a jealousy play.
Yeah. I feel like it's just got to be one of those things that maybe it comes up down the road and you're like, oh, wild.
You're prepared to speak to it. But you're not bringing it up.
That's my move.
Yeah, that's the move.
Because that's the way I feel about everything.
Yeah,
in life.
You sit there and you go, be ready to receive, but don't be ready to throw.
Yeah.
So, like, listen, also, let's live in the reality that was created by the booty call guy.
Yeah.
You guys met on an app and you fucked.
It's over.
That's the life. That's what we're all doing.
That's all that happens.
So, for anyone to say that you're wrong for living in the reality that exists today, they're wrong.
Yeah, it almost
feels like... What world does he live in?
It almost feels like there's an ulterior motive for her to bring it up. Weird, maybe she's trying to define the scope of their relationship or something.
Yeah.
Or get just leave it alone.
Leave it alone.
Leave it alone.
It will come up. You'll go at some point. Because here's the other thing. It's also weird that he brought up a guy that he hates.
Right.
I think that he knows that they dated.
He might know. And your perfect response is when he just go like, Oh, yeah, I fucked that guy. I'm a whore. I was a whore until I met you.
Yes, and now you have changed
You've
me for the better.
You've made me a Christian.
I'm a virgin again, yeah. No, I think the fact that he brought up the other guy, it's weird. I don't go on first dates and bring up my biggest enemy.
Nobody does.
Why did that happen?
It's a real weird move for a guy.
Yeah.
To talk, but not to gender the conversation, but for a dude to be like, oh, I had one of my boys, we're not close anymore. It's like, that's odd.
There's like I've said this before. I don't know if I've said this on the podcast, but that's a very female thing to have like old friends you don't speak to anymore.
Yeah, and talk
about
it.
I speak to everybody.
My friend will talk about her problems with her sister and other, and she goes, you know, like, we'll sit down to talk, and she's like, you know, my sister is very controlling, and I'm like, who ordered this topic of conversation? I don't care. No one cares.
Yeah.
No one cares. But that's so much of people's lives are given meaning by drama.
Well, go watch any Housewives episode.
Right.
Like the things that they're dealing with with each other.
Right.
Is like almost insane.
It's crazy.
Most people go, yeah, I just don't.
The best
hang
show now is
person.
Selling Sunset on Netflix. It's about five hot realtors, all females. The Oppenheim group is these two bald guys, and there's five hot. Literally nothing happens. They get in arguments over literal parking spots. Nothing happens.
Okay.
And it's amazing. I mean,
I got to watch.
It's great.
I mean, you've come to the right place to discuss reality
real estate
TV.
Reality shows.
Really?
I just like them. I like them because...
And because they're also like the... I would imagine the real estate becomes a part of the show.
Real estate is not for smart people, number one.
Okay.
The people that excel in real estate are usually good-looking and driven. But they're not smart. Like, you got to have a little bit up top to work at Goldman.
Yes.
You don't really have you don't need to have a lot up top to work at Douglas Elliman and walk somebody through a townhouse in the West Village and be like, there's a lot of natural light.
Sure.
Which is all they say.
There's a reason a lot of divorced people, you know, their next job is.
So I think it's a real estate agent. It's a great reality TV thing because you have people that are good looking and not bright, which is what I want.
Perfect.
And now...
I mean, I watch The Bachelor and Bachelorette.
They have...
That's the whole...
Course,
that's everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone on The Bachelor... Ari, the last Bachelor...
Right.
Two Bachelors ago, is a real estate agent.
Of course.
Yeah.
So now you have to watch these people stumble around these total prefab created storylines that mean nothing and are meaningless and literally... And you watch them and it is just the way that these fights happen... Are so inorganic. Like they'll be around a pool, everybody will be having fun, everybody will be drinking rosé, and then one girl will turn to the other girl and go, remember that thing 3 weeks ago? I'm not cool with that. I'm not cool with the way that happened. And I'm like...
Bring it out at a whole cloth.
And I'm like, because what happens is, and I know people that work on these shows, they get them drunk. It still doesn't work because they're so stupid. They don't realize they have to. So then the producer has to go up to one of them and go, listen, she called you a cunt in the parking lot.
I have it on camera.
Look at this. And then they just go at each other. And to me, I don't know why I find that it's embarrassing, but I find it so enjoyable. Like, I love the Kardashians. I think the Kardashians are... I've called Kris Jenner a genius before.
Absolutely.
And I stand by that. It's a fascinating
She's
program.
A genius. I watched it last night. I'm getting more into it now that Kanye's on the show.
Fascinating.
It is fascinating how much they want. First of all, they make the Botox, they make no facial expressions.
None.
But they speak that they're upset. So they'll go, I'm the most upset I've ever been.
Right.
And their face won't change at all.
Yeah, it's really something. It's amazing to watch the
reason Chris is a genius is because it always comes back to family.
Yeah.
So the show is they want you to let you know that we're just a family, just like you.
Just like you.
Just like you with $20 million home. So they'll go. So it always ends with them around a dinner table.
Right.
And then the best is now Kanye's in there.
Oh, great.
And he doesn't speak the company line. Like, they're all in on the company.
Yeah.
And then Kanye goes, yeah, that guy stinks. And then you'll see Kim just like,
Not one issue that they have not dominated. I mean, Bruce Jenner, trans.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Sure.
Kim Kardashian, Kanye West have waded into
That was the episode I watched last night. Amazing. where they're dealing with, now they're getting people out of jail.
They're getting people out of jail.
To do the first step or whatever.
It's wild. You have Kylie Jenner, who's a billionaire.
Well, then that's the reason I know Chris is a genius is because she'll do a thing. She knows how the internet works.
Yeah.
So she'll put out that she's a self-made billionaire.
Right.
She knows
that people will fight about that.
On both sides.
And the other thing is, this family was hatched from the O.J. Simpson trial, which was the biggest media circus of all time.
Yeah.
In the 90s, so I remember that.
They learned from it.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
I am willing to imagine Kris Jenner, knowingly or unknowingly, and probably knowingly, watched that period of time, because that changed everything. That was the beginning of like 24-hour news cycle. Really the beginning of reality TV.
Yeah.
And then she
Court TV.
Oh, dude, everything. And what she was able to do, I think, is wild.
She's smart, because like they don't get enough credit. And then I was saying to Jess, we were watching it last night, and I was saying, I was watching her and Chloe interact.
Yeah.
And I was like, these are the two smartest ones.
Yeah.
Like, Chloe gets it. She's funny. She's on it.
She gets it.
A lot of times she'll be like, they're talking about the wildfires, and she's like, how is no one else freaking out? And you're like, oh, she represents us a little bit. Her and Chris, when they go back and forth, they make fun of each other.
Yes.
The other ones...
they're aspirational figures.
Hold on. Courtney. Who's the...
Courtney is...
Who's the one that got cheated on by...
Chloe's used to be fat.
So I'm right. I'm talking about Chloe and Chris.
Chloe's the everyman.
The everyman.
Yes.
And Chris gets it.
Yes.
Chris is dealt in society.
Yes.
Kim is a superstar.
On a cloud.
On a cloud. And then Courtney's a fucking idiot.
Yes. Courtney's the whiny cunt.
Yeah. Annoying.
Yeah, annoying.
I really can't stand Courtney in a way.
Well, here's the thing. Courtney made Scott Disick likable.
He is likable. I like him a lot.
He cheat on her all the time. Yeah. But you go, I hate this whining cunt who fucking grew up in this palace.
Yeah.
And good for him. And he should cheat on her because she's horrific.
And now Scott is this like reform cheater. And you just see him like hang out with his son. You're like, look at this guy.
And
he's a great guy.
I'm fascinated by this guy because I'm like, so many Long Island Playboy grifters. He's from Long Island. He is their god. He is their god. And you look at people. I look at people and I go, Kim Kardashian. These are religious figures. Because I look at certain women and I'm like, oh, your god is Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
Like, you've created an entire image.
Talk about going to Miami. Yeah. Everyone there just looks like they're dressing like her.
Right.
They're wearing versions of what she put... Kim, and then like Cardi B is a little bit like, there's a lot of that, the look that Cardi B has fashioned, but even Cardi B, you look at her and you go, this is kind of...
What is that look
off of
that Cardi
Kim?
B's doing?
I think it's off of Kim.
It's a branch of the Kardashian trick.
Yeah, the ass alone.
Right, yeah. I just love that show.
To get back to her email.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I think, but what we're saying is...
Yeah.
This guy knows about the other guy.
He knows.
I play dumb.
If this
until
was a reality show,
up.
You have to play dumb.
Yeah.
Because this is all going to come to a head at a dinner.
You would speak to the camera and go, I think I fucked his friend.
This is going to come to head at a dinner in an outdoor, indoor restaurant with fake fire.
JTrain podcast
fake
at gmail.com.
Fake blue fire.
Listen, I love this sponsor, ZipRecruiter. You know how hard it is to find a new job? It's very difficult. It becomes another job. So, and not all of us have a recruiter coming to help us out. Some people, the recruiter goes, I can get you the job and I'll take some money off the top. And it's like, who wants to pay for all that? Finding a new job, but what you need is your own personal recruiter to help you find a better job. Now ZipRecruiter's technology can do that for you. Just download the ZipRecruiter job search app. Let it know what kind of jobs you're interested in, and its technology starts doing the work that you don't have to do. You can do the job that you hate right now so that ZipRecruiter goes out and finds you a better one. ZipRecruiter app finds you jobs you'll like and puts your profile in front of employers who may be looking for someone like you. If an employer likes your profile, ZipRecruiter lets you know. So if you're interested in the job, you can apply. There it is. It's taken out all that fuss and muss of going to different websites and looking up different jobs. ZipRecruiter is going to go, here's 10. Take a look. What do you like? It's a little, you know, ZipRecruiter is like this job search app is like, it's like a dating app, but for your jobs. Here's some potential candidates. Swipe right or left. No wonder ZipRecruiter is the number one job-rated search app. And based on third-party surveys, 7 out of 10 people who found a new job on ZipRecruiter increased their salaries. People, come on. My listeners, if you're looking for a job, you should download the free ZipRecruiter job search app today. Let the power of technology work for you. Just like the mailman, let this app work for you to find you a better career, better job, better pay. Don't wait. The sooner you download the free ZipRecruiter job search app, the sooner it can help you find a better job. Here with Tim Dillon at Tim J. Dillon, Twitter and Instagram. Moving to LA. Sorry to lose you.
Yeah, well, I'll be back. I'm keeping a spot here. I'm going to be back and forth. But, you know, time for a change. I'm excited. It's I've been here forever.
You're a New Yorker.
I grew up here.
I don't blame you.
You know, enough's enough.
This is, let's do one more email. We got time for one more, then we'll do some news.
One more email.
Okay. I like this one. Waiting for a ring.
Yeah. Guess what?
It doesn't look good.
As soon as I hear that, I think
there's an issue.
There's an issue and it's your fault. I believe that.
Yeah.
Anybody who's waiting.
No, well, there's something being unsaid.
Something is unsaid, and I'm going to blame you, but maybe I'm wrong.
J-Tran, longtime listener from Seattle. Can't wait to see you in a month. I guess we'll talk about it then.
Right.
Hey, listen. Shows. JaredFried.com. I'm going to be in Nashville, Worcester, Mohegan Sun, Seattle, San Francisco, D.C. Come out wherever you are. JaredFried.com. I know you always talk about how guys know when the quote-unquote exits are coming on the inner set of relationships, move in together, propose, get married, etc. This recently came up in a conversation with my boyfriend of 3 years. He's 29, I'm 27. I was asking when we would get engaged. I'm not a crazy person, as he often references spending our lives together, and I feel like that is where our relationship is headed. I was just asking a question about the timeline of events and wondering if it would be this year, and then he said he felt pressure about getting engaged because he knows that after he does, next comes wedding planning and a wedding and buying a house and then babies. That is not the answer she wanted to get.
Yeah.
I feel like he's getting overwhelmed with thinking about the next 5 years instead of just thinking, I love her, I should buy a ring. She's oversimplified it, and he's overcomplicated it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The truth is in the middle.
Yeah, because she just goes, I love her, I buy her a ring. And it's like, okay, that's a little simple.
Here's the other thing. I think there's a lot of guys out there that but isn't there a part of it that's like, I'm fucking this person now forever, and that's it? Isn't there a part of it where a guy closing that door in his own mind is there's a lot.
Do you plan on getting married? Do you see that for you?
I mean, I would maybe down the road. Mike,
for those at home, they don't know, Tim is a gay man.
Yeah, and I to call me a man is a little presumptuous. I identify my pronoun is that.
Gay that.
But I don't know. I think
She writes, I just wanted to hear your male perspective here and ask how I'm supposed to act as the girlfriend waiting for a ring. Is there a way I can ease his anxiety about the future, or should I just never bring it up again and keep waiting forever? Or do you think his anxiety is about
that's a cunt response. Should I just never bring it up again and keep waiting forever? Yeah, that's what we're going to say. Yeah. That's what we're going to say. Never bring it up again. But see, now I see the problem.
It lands in the middle
a little bit. It's like, listen, it's a big deal for him to just buy the ticket for that train because that's the last one he's ever going to take.
Yeah, she writes, or do you think his anxiety about a proposal is a sign of something bigger and doesn't want to marry me?
Yes. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
I think he gave you a very honest answer in a difficult place to give it.
Yeah.
You said, hey, when do you think, you know, I was asking about when we get engaged. They've been together 3 years. She's not crazy for wondering these things.
No,
in 3 years.
Absolutely not.
So she's saying, when do you think this is going to happen? I don't blame her for wanting to check in. That I think is fine. What I do think is that she's not looking. She then says, is it the... He said, then the things he brings up, spending our lives together, and I feel like this is where our relationship is headed. He's mentioned that before. Then he felt pressure about getting engaged because he knows after that he does. After that, next comes wedding planning, wedding, and buying a house and then babies. To me,
it's true.
That's a guy who's worried about money.
Yes.
And in her mind, she goes, I love her. I should buy her. She goes, this is the sentence. It's always, the answer is always in the email. I feel like he's getting overwhelmed with thinking about the next 5 years instead of just thinking, I love her. I should buy a ring. That's not how it works.
Right. It's not.
I love her. I should buy a ring is how no man thinks of these
things.
There's
so many other considerations.
Yes.
Yeah.
So my thing to you, you don't not bring it up again. The way you brought it up is fine. I think he knows the page you're on.
Right.
There is a point where you have to see that he's dragging his feet so much that he's doing that so you'll dump him.
Interesting.
There's a part of that. But let's be realistic about where he is financially.
When I read the email, when I read the email, I think to myself, he's trans. And that's the problem. I think he is a male that identifies as a female and wants to come out of the closet.
Yeah.
And he needs you to kind of hold his hand through that process. Because I think what he's saying is when he's like, it's house, kids, babies, what he's really saying is, I need money for surgery. I don't know who I am anymore. And again, I could, listen, maybe I'm just reading more into this than there is.
Maybe.
But that's just from what I...
Well, I read, to me, it's me, when someone goes...
No, it's money. It's a guy that's worried about money.
House, baby.
That's more, money.
House, baby... wedding planning. That's money, money, money.
That's a good dude. He's concerned about being a provider.
Yes.
My friends will. I know some boys. They'll propose. They'll propose, and you'll go live in that Levitt house, and you'll figure it the fuck out.
I think if you make him feel better about the finances, then he'll feel better about moving forward.
Say we could do a small, simple wedding. I don't need, but she sounds a little bit like a bridezilla. She goes, we don't need a big wedding. We could do a small wedding. I don't care. It's about you. Yeah. I don't need to live in a big house unless she does. And that's a whole other thing.
Well, that's the thing. Let's be realistic with ourselves.
Yeah. What do you want to do? You want to live in a bungalow? do you want to live in a little bungalow in Suffolk County, Long Island?
Be realistic.
Where's she from? Did they ever tell you where they're from?
She's going to be at the show in Seattle. So I'll see her there.
Oh, Seattle. Interesting. Pacific Northwest. They're expensive interesting town. People. Very white.
Yeah.
They're very white. They're kind of gaunt looking. They're tree people.
Have you been to Seattle?
I've been to Spokane. I've not done Seattle yet.
I've been to Spokane. I actually enjoyed that town.
I'm sure
Spokane's the section that everyone talks shit on.
Spokane is a nightmare. It is a nightmare, and it's just bleak and gray.
I did open every show by saying...
I did find out a woodchuck and a groundhog are the same thing. That's what I did find out in Spokane.
Learn something new every day.
What did you open every show saying?
I said that this looks like the set for a depression medication commercial.
That's so hilarious.
Yeah, and they all laughed because they were like, yeah, that's kind of what it looks like.
Spokane is white supremacy. It's right by Idaho. There's a lot of white nationalists.
Oh, really?
There. Yeah, so I opened my set by saying, this is a real white crowd. And then the whole place applauded and said, damn right. And I'm like, oh, that's not where. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a weird reaction.
Spokane is actually about a half hour away from a town that was like taken over by the Klan.
Really?
Years ago.
Oh, that was the Netflix documentary.
Yeah. Oh, they get it in over there.
So to this woman's email, I think you have to think of this financially.
Great.
I think when you write, I love her, I should buy the ring, you have a different understanding of what goes into a marriage than what he's thinking.
Right.
So let's start thinking of finances, how they work. Have you moved in together?
There's a great book called The Privileges by Jonathan Dee.
Okay.
It's about a young couple that gets married and rises to the pinnacle of New York society. You might want to read it because the first section of it is all about young people getting married. Very interesting and about... and the way guys look at it and the money and everything like that, it is very different.
I take that suggestion because I think a lot of times women were like, what's the problem? And you're like, he can't afford the next thing coming, which has to come. The baby has to follow the marriage.
Yes.
Babies cost money. He's looking at his wallet. He's going, I got a 50.
Right.
That's all I got.
Right. It's
round. It's tough. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Tim Dillon, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to do some news. Is that cool?
Let's do it.
At Tim J. Dillon. Go follow, go follow, go follow. Go listen to the podcast. Tim Dillon is going to hell. Fantastic, hilarious. You're going to love him. Shelby, let's do some news.
Well, a couple of episodes ago, the topic of student loans came up.
Oh, boy.
And we talked about the new game show that could come out that you can win money to pay back your student loans, and there's a lot of different weird ways people are paying them back now.
Yeah.
But a new one came out that people are not so sure about, Burger King.
Okay.
Burger King is going to pay your student loans by downloading their app. You'll be entered into like a raffle. You enter how
Isn't
much.
This is a sad reality.
I am perplexed.
Someone out there is like banking on Burger King paying their student loans.
Burger King has gone to college. That's a fact. It is not a fast food place where people that from college go.
Can you imagine though?
Yeah.
You hear Burger King is like, we're paying student loans.
I love if that's your plan. You're like, listen, if you're talking to one of your friends, you're like, well, I got a few irons in the fire. One of them is this new Burger King program that
it's just eating there
every day.
It's just an unbelievable thing that like that the luxury thing you could win is that your life, that you lose your loans.
Yeah, and the thing with student loans is like, I think a lot of people took them out not thinking they were paying them back or not even realizing that they got paid back.
Well, I think a lot of people, I agree with you. I think when you hear people talk about like, you know, where you get your loans forgiven.
Right.
When I hear that, it sounds like people didn't realize that they were the investment.
Right.
You're the investment that failed.
Yeah. And you,
if you can't pay it back,
borrowed $150,000 and you got a degree in gender studies and there's not a ton of job. Like you got,
that was a bad investment you made.
Investment. Yeah.
But then they would say, well, isn't that a bad investment from the loan company? Like, why weren't they more discerning?
Well, here's the deal. I bought a house that did it. You can walk away from a mortgage. You can walk away from a house.
Okay.
You can walk away from all. You cannot walk away from student loans. That is the only debt. They'll garnish your paycheck to get that money back.
That's interesting.
You can walk away from $1 million mortgage and just say later, and they can do nothing.
Oops.
They can really do nothing because the mortgage note attaches the debt to the collateral. The collateral is the house.
Well,
they repossess the house.
They can't repossess your brain.
Right.
Is what they're
the
saying.
The whole thing is they right. Okay. But student loan debt, it's like IRS debt, they'll work with you on. That seems to be the only debt where they are going to come at you forever.
Yeah. I mean, but I guess it's for,
because the way they look at it, your earning capability is completely, you know,
because of this loan.
Right. I do think that whoever wins in 2020, probably going to be Trump, but whoever the next cycle guy is or gal, student loan debt restructuring or forgiveness or whatever you want to call it is going to be a big issue.
I mean, it is the amount of money that's...
It's a like, bubble. There's a lot of people.
It's a huge bubble. Yeah. You go visit these schools, they're gorgeous.
Right.
The amount of money, like I went to...
Lexus is in the parking lot. Every professor is...
It's crazy.
Yeah,
and
you're
like, you're sending these people off with... Like to hear that there's colleges with stand-up comedy majors, you're like, you're a part of this issue.
I think
Burger King can't help you.
Rogan had a guy on recently that said there's going to be very soon the Netflix of education. And he goes, it's going to change a lot of things.
Masterclass.
Yeah, masterclass. That's
what it is.
But I mean, do you think, I look at college now and I go, I look at it as almost an archaic institution because it's not even fun anymore. Like it is fun for a lot of people. But right now I look at the amount of money. Like my friend the other day, we're sitting in a nice hotel room. Her mother makes a lot of money, and her mother paid for her to go to Oberlin. And she comes in and she explains to her mother that her best friend got canceled for saying something basically akin to, that's a girl problem. And her
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You mean canceled? Like this person's a public figure who is now...
No. I mean like in Oberlin, no one will talk to her anymore. And it's getting...
College canceled.
College canceled. It's
that
happening
exists.
On that level.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Socially,
so
you're
she
out.
Said something...
Like, I have a girl problem. And they were like, you need to repent for this. And she was basically
shame. Right.
So, and then she started explaining to her mother gender fluidity and how men and women were not different and that sex and gender weren't related. And her mother put down her glass of champagne and goes, how much am I paying for you to go to this school? And I really think that we're heading to a place where if all these kids are graduating with student loans and they're not getting fucking jobs and they're sitting there for 4 years and learning gobbledygook.
Yeah, yeah.
What the hell are we doing?
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
What are we preparing people for?
What are we preparing people
to
for?
To do a Burger King scratch
we're
ticket.
We're actively impeding their abilities.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I used to visit my friends at colleges all the time and it used to be people would just get high in an old house and go tubing and have fun and drink.
Sure.
And now it's like people are crying and there's rooms for people
to
go in and cry.
It's also interesting the divide between colleges. Like,
yeah.
You hear that about Oberlin and you're like, they're crazy for that reason. Then I went and did this college tour where I would do the tape the Snapchat show from different colleges. We went to Penn State one of the weeks.
Yeah, it was
one
great.
It was great.
Everyone's fucking kids. It's fun.
They're... You know, Oberlin is in a bubble of that making.
Yes.
Then you go to Penn State. We got someone on Instagram sent me a bunch of wings for the production crew.
That sounds so great.
So we got a bunch of wings. The guy hooked it up. It was great. Yeah. So we have all these wings set out and we're like on frat row, like taping the show. This dude is hammered. He walks up. He has nothing to do with our shoot.
Yeah.
Picks up a wing, eats it. Looks, he goes, lights, cameras, action. What's happening here? And we're all like 10 adults just sitting there with our mouths dropped to the ground.
Right.
Like, where have you found this confidence to pick up food off of another person's plate?
Right.
Put it in your mouth, go, and then ask for answers.
Right.
As if you're the governor of Penn State.
But that's amazing. And my friend Michael Varga, who I want to shout out because his girlfriend loves this show. Oh. She listens every week.
Tell
Vanessa.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Yeah, she's a nurse. Great. She always tells me when I complain about colleges, she's like, it's not every college, you know, it's just the colleges that you know about.
No, it's different in every way.
He's right.
But he's right, but... That's,
but I will tell you, it's seeping in.
But that what seeping you're talking in. About yeah. is a separation of from reality
yes.
at Oberlin. And the same separation exists at Penn State.
In a different way.
In a different way.
Yeah, so that my whole thing is like I look at college and I go, it's a tremendous expense.
Yeah.
It's a tremendous expense. I think it has to get better at preparing people for the market, the job market they're going to enter.
Yeah, the problem also is that you could go to college and go, I have an interest in history.
Yeah.
And you'd get a history minor and the people who went to colleges were either getting, you know, the idea that you were paying this back didn't exist before. Where
I know,
everyone goes to college. That was that's a newer thing.
Yeah, it's a very new thing.
So like the idea that like someone who like I remember I went to college with this guy and we are both in the generation of everyone goes to college or you're a loser.
Right.
And that's not fair.
It's true.
But it's all
it's not true, but it's the thought process.
The era that we were there were certain people from my high school that went to trade school after high school.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God.
And now they make probably $200,000 a year.
They're doing great. Yeah, it was the right decision.
It was the best decision.
So we had a guy that was in my house and we would always joke around that he didn't go to the college. We would joke around. He would walk around with a backpack every day, and we never saw him in classes.
That's so funny.
And then one day, he left his backpack in the room. We were like, go through the backpack. Let's see what the fuck is going on here. And we looked through, and it's just all candy wrappers. And we were like, what's he doing? And it got to the point where we were like, yeah, he was too embarrassed to not be at the school. So it was it was more, and this is happening a lot, where it was more important for him to be in the everyone went to college group.
Interesting.
Than to leave and just go.
That's crazy.
It's a craziness, but
that's wild.
The craziness is is a craziness that is from.
Yeah, it's a function of the thought process.
Of what we're all thinking. Yeah. The way we're all thinking. So
when I dropped out to sell subprime mortgages on Long Island, my parents, everybody was like, it was like I had murdered someone.
Yeah.
It was like I had killed somebody.
Talk about a shame. And it's like, you know, there was a time in the history of America, if you think about it, where it was rich people and smart people went to college.
Yeah.
And that was like, and it was like.
And now it's funny because a lot of, there are people out there. I think in this world, it's almost a benefit to think out of the box.
Yeah.
And to be non-conventional in the ways that you think. So there's a lot of, you know, a lot of people that I know that went to college will tell you that's not where they learned a lot of the skills that matter. Like a lot of those entrepreneurs, a lot of friends that I have that are entrepreneurs go, I learned a lot not necessarily in a college classroom, even though I went to college, I got the degree, but I learned a lot more hanging out with my friends socially.
Sure.
What do my friends need? What do they want? What would make sense? And I think we're living in this world now where knowledge is not always going to be this top-down thing. I think there's a lot of self-educated people.
Listen, and now you can go, yeah, you know, $15 a month, masterclass. You can become a chemist.
You too can be
can
David
Lynch. Can you imagine that you're sitting down for surgery and they, you go, oh, where's your diploma from?
Oh, masterclass.
And it's masterclass.
YouTube. I went to YouTube. It's amazing.
Shall we got any more news?
We do.
Let's do another one.
You're headed to San Francisco pretty soon.
July 4th, come celebrate America with me at Cobb's. Come on out.
Are you planning on engineering any old 60s musical instruments?
Wasn't on the agenda, but you know, if I come across a mandolin, I'll give it a shot.
Well, what there's an urban legend saying, like in the Bay Area, that old musicians in the 60s would take their musical instruments, usually like synthesizers, ones with keys, dip them in LSD, so when they lick their fingers, they'd play them and like allegedly get high.
And that happened recently. A guy, and this is probably part of the story, a guy was restoring an instrument and noticed this film on it. It was LSD. It was
really
kept in a, yeah, it was kept in a really cool place, and he just tripped out. It was that's a Grateful
funny.
Dead. It was a Grateful Dead's like amp or something.
That's funny that
it's wild.
That's like finding, you know, Aladdin finding you know, the lamp.
But the way I feel, I'm like, if you buy an old Grateful Dead instrument, this is not your first time on acid.
Sure.
So you're not as flipped out as like someone else.
Yeah,
would be.
It wasn't you know? A librarian that bought that.
Yeah, this wasn't totally unexpected.
No.
You know,
it's funny when you hear these stories, like when we go pre-phones now.
Oh yeah.
Like the world, it's like I can't even understand how people lived.
Yeah.
You know, like I hear something like this. Yeah, they put it in their guitar to like keep the day going along, and it's like, man,
what an interesting thing.
Are spending so much, like I'm addicted to my phone full out.
Me too.
And I'm sitting there on it all day long, and I'm like, man, time is being wasted, but they were just wasting it in a different way.
Oh yeah. I mean, no one's making, like the pre-phone world had a lot of benefits, but I mean, it's like one of those things. It's like you can never go back.
I can't go back.
I can barely read books.
No, I can't.
Where nobody's using their phone, because I go, just use your phone.
The Great Gatsby.
Yeah. I'm like, just call her.
Call. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, I tweeted this where I was like, I use my phone after sex, meals, and to take a break from work.
Yeah.
It's like that's how people smoke cigarettes.
That's it.
Those are the three ways. Like,
I love
it's
that.
Like
sex, meals, take a break from work.
Yeah. And it's like I'm using it the same way an addict would use a cigarette.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm there. I get it.
It's a dopamine rush.
Oh. And you know, and then one time someone told me that like to get over it, you have to switch the color scheme of your phone. And you can switch it to black and white. So it makes you want to look at it less. The colors aren't there.
Oh,
and I did
I
it
like
for a week and I was
colors.
Like, fuck this. Yeah. I want the colors.
I want
give
the
it
colors.
Back. Shelby.
Yep.
Thank you for bringing the news.
Thanks for having me.
At Classic Shelb on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Go follow us. Go support. Tim Dillon, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate
it. A blast. I'm happy we could make it work. At Tim J. Dillon on Twitter and Instagram. Go follow. Go support. Go listen to his podcast. Tim Dillon is going to hell. I'm Jared Fried. We're here every Tuesday and Friday. We'll be back next episode. Boom.